Hi, this is Emily with your Politics in Action report at CJMQ 88.9 FM, updating you on the latest and emerging political news. Local MP Marie-Claude Bibeau had announced late last week funding for greater accessibility for people who are less mobile. The Massawippi Valley Health Center had received $49,900 in monetary funds from the Enabling Accessibility Fund in order to make this project happen. The EAF funds two major sectors, the accessibility for the community as well as accessibility in the workplace. In essence, governmental funding is allocated to aiding people with physical disabilities via renovations to make everyday places more accessible. The EAF was established in 2007, and has since the Government of Canada has funded over 3,000 projects throughout said program. The Liberals are initiating funds to various causes, especially people who are more vulnerable in our society and people of diversity. The reason for this, in the relatively long run, is the 2019 election. I keep going back to this, I realize. However, this is the relevance of campaigning ahead of the game, so to speak, because as I mentioned with the premier election, it is a way of establishing media presence. It's the idea that if you keep doing well in society and people see that, the greater likelihood of support from the electorate. So I'm happy to hear about this initiative, as improving accessibility isn't publicly spoken about often. We don't realize walking up the steps of any building, and even having a walk, that this is a difficult task for some Canadians. I know from experience, as I have a family member with difficulty in terms of mobilization. We don't think of this unless we know someone personally or have experienced it ourselves. And it is just that hard to mobilize in areas that we find easy, so sometimes we take it for granted. I would like to elaborate on the idea that people with physical disabilities may not be capable of working, so they do not have a large income. So funding for these programs cannot come out of their own pockets. The low income rate among adults with a disability aged 45 to 64, according to Stats Canada, in 2014 was above 50%. According to Stats Canada, approximately 20.3% of Canadians between the ages of 25 and 64 have a disability, among which 12.1% have a physical disability. As people with disabilities can't contribute to the workforce, we need to provide a greater livelihood. It is actually the job of the government to provide a gravely high livelihood, especially for those with disabilities or a minority status. This obligation to care for people of disability and who are less mobile is in our social rights, and it's one of the rights presented in our Canadian Charter. After 2 years of negotiations regarding the reconstruction of the Grande Fourche Bridge, the city of Sherbrooke will finally see this project underway. The plan was presented to Sherbrooke's Mayor Bertrand Sevigny, and reasons the agreement took longer to approve was due to the determination of the price for this project. The city of Sherbrooke initially requested $15 million from the provincial government, but realized greater funds would be needed for the reconstruction of this bridge. The bridge's life expired in 2018 and was intended to be replaced about 5 years ago. Politicians have expressed this new bridge project will change the face of Sherbrooke by granting a new dimension, as the bridge is to be constructed the west of its location over Rue Wellington Nord. This comes months after Sherbrooke made a pledge to improve public transit, particularly with its bus system. The Quebec government had invested $7.4 million into the Société de Transport de Sherbrooke. The Quebec government invests approximately 75% into public investments, among which transportation receives the greatest amount of funds. Canada, as well as its provinces, make a great contribution to investing and maintaining its roads and highways, as it's the main source of transportation. This is not only for everyday citizens who travel from work to home, but also delivery trucks who carry essential goods. This is relevant, as if bridges are not safe to bear the weight of trucks, this is a barrier for delivering and receiving goods, which is an essential component of our everyday lives. Consider, for instance, the bridge connecting Lennoxville to Bishop's University, also known as Bishop's Bridge, over the Massawippi River. With recent construction, the Société de Transport de Sherbrooke announced the bridge was not stable for heavy trucks to pass on. Therefore, trucks had to detour anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes on an alternative route to make their deliveries. So what it comes down to is the government will invest in areas where they will receive the greatest benefit in return. Investing in public transport will yield the benefits of contributing to economic growth. Sherbrooke has been titled the Queen City of the Eastern Townships. Sherbrooke has attempted to uphold its appearance, improve services, as well as make it a thriving economic urban center. Students at the University of Sherbrooke are engaging in political activism by actively protesting for paid internships. Among 15,000 students across Quebec have stated they were paid for internships, 50 of which were among the protesting students from the Department of Education, Kinesiology, the Faculty of Arts, and Humanities that took part of this first day of a two-day strike. Their objective is to deliver a message that volunteering is not enough. The main concern is that while students are dedicating their time to gaining relative experience in their field, they are not compensated for their time. Dedicating all this time to a stage or internship and not receiving financial compensation also means a loss of time that could have been dedicated to a part-time job. What comes down to is financial assistance to students. Sometimes governmental financial aid isn't enough, they assert. As a student, I understand the trade-off between non-paid internships. Some are internships that are not paid, while relevant for the experience and to excel in our fields, is not enough because we cannot afford to spend 3 to 4 months working and not having any financial support needed to continue with our studies. This student protest took place yesterday and holds significance as the day of Global Intern Strike Day. The second day of protest is set to take place on March 8th, the day of International Women's Rights Day. The significance of holding it on International Women's Rights Day is that some of the stages students partake in are female-dominated workplaces, such as nursing. In context, internships that are paid, while they are opportunities, they are best suited for students whose parents are funding their education. Students who receive a great deal of assistance from their parents are not as concerned with financials and can afford to take the summer for experience. In Quebec, I would say that half the students attending Quebec universities are Quebec residents. As tuition is relatively low for Quebec residents, it is an incentive for attending a Quebec university, partly because we are able or sometimes have to fund our own education, as myself. The problem of unpaid internships, thus mostly, in my perspective, would affect Quebec students who are funding their own education. Quebec has had this healthy and active student bodies where our education is our future, and if the opportunity for us to succeed, whether that is in terms of pursuing higher education, or in this case with internships, Quebec students have a strong voice to demonstrate their distress. We saw this in 2012 with the Quebec-wide student protests over the proposed tuition hike. Education is something we value to a great extent, and if in any way this is taken away from us, we have always fought back. This is what we are seeing here with the instance of unpaid internships. Students want the opportunity to succeed, but not if it comes at a cost. The job of any opposition party is to oppose anything they deem to be unfit that has been passed by the current government in power. This is what is occurring at the provincial level. The opposition parties in the National Assembly, the PQ and the CAQ, are criticizing the Couillard government and its recent deal made with medical specialists. Jean-François Legault, leader of the CAQ, is pleading with the Couillard government to hold off signing the deal until after the Quebec provincial election. Legault's reasoning for this is to acquire popular opinion. With Quebecers voting for their party choice, this would be a way of affirming what Quebecers want to do in terms of this agreement. Legault stated that the Liberal government has no right to commit the state to unjustified billions. Technically, as I stated, parties have the right to oppose policy proposals as oppositions, but at the same time, the party in power has the authority and legitimacy, having been elected by Quebecers, to enact policies they believe fit for Quebec society. Often, with the passing of policies other parties oppose, we see a yo-yo effect of something becoming law and something no longer becoming law. For example, when Stephen Harper was Prime Minister, he got rid of the Canadian Census program. The Canadian Census was reinstated by Justin Trudeau before Canada could even miss a census collection. Additionally, Legault explained financial equality, and he uses the incidents that Quebec medical doctors are receiving more than what doctors receive in the province of Ontario. Yet the rest of Quebec's medical workers earn less than when compared to those in Ontario. With enforcement by the Petit Québécois, Legault and Lisée are calling for delaying the signing of the agreement. Lisée explains that doctors do not necessarily need this investment, and it could be utilized in other areas of greater importance. So, for example, such as reducing the waiting room time in hospitals. On the defense, Couillard stated the agreement was respecting commitments made to Quebec doctors and improving patient care. Couillard reasons that the debts are paid and the money comes from previous agreements with doctors. Hence, there is no new money. Couillard then accuses Legault of creating a conflict in the wake of an election campaign. The joys of representative democracy, as we see here, is the opposition is a valued political voice. Composing Quebec's National Assembly are the Liberal government with 68 seats, followed by the PQ with 28 seats, the CAQ at 21 seats, then the Quebec Solidaire with 3 seats. There is no telling with all this political conflict and election campaigns what the October election will bring. Voters can voice their opinion on this agreement in translation of voting for the political party they most agree with. The highest court in Quebec has ruled in favor of banning the curtin in the Quebec legislature. Justice Patrick Healy upheld the previous motion that the Quebec National Assembly is permitted to enact rules pertaining to Parliament. This regulation, enacted in February 2011, prohibits the entry of people who sport a curtin. This regulation has been challenged by 2 members of the World Psych Organization. Bhalpreet Singh and Harminder Kaur argued that set regulation was legal, but not binding. Singh has explained the process of reappealing this regulation is currently underway. The curtin is a knife carried by people who practice the Sikhism religion, which is among the 5 relics they must carry with them at all times. Quebec is a province that supports religious neutrality in the public sector. What we have seen since the Quiet Revolution is the secularism of the Quebec state separation of the church and state. All matters of the public were no longer being under the responsibility of the Roman Catholic faith. So we can really see Quebec taking the initiative seriously by banning religious relics in all areas of the public, including the legislature. What we see here is Quebec not giving exceptions, even in the legislature, because if they make an exception once, that gives the hope of granting other exceptions. And Quebec doesn't want to move backwards in terms of accepting religious symbols in public. This is why Quebec is often resisting the demonstration of religious symbols in public. The Minister of Families, Children, and Social Development, Jean-Yves Duclos, has pleaded with his fellow federal Liberals to make greater attempts to limit nationwide poverty. Among the concerns revolving around the struggles of Canadians include access to affordable housing, being able to afford living a healthy lifestyle, which includes access to affordable healthy food, and transportation. These necessities come from a report released consisting of public consultations, which finds the majority of Canadians struggling to secure the basic needs. In response, the Liberals are implementing a poverty reduction strategy that will attempt to address the issue of income inequality prior to the next election. According to the recent Stats Canada census survey, in 2015, approximately 4.8 million Canadians lived below the poverty line. Some of these factors are under provincial jurisdiction, in particular, transportation. For instance, car insurance is more expensive in Nova Scotia than it is in Quebec because the Quebec government bears some of the costs associated with car insurance, while the Nova Scotia government does not. As such, the government's project will trickle down into provincial areas of jurisdiction. For instance, this will involve greater investments into childcare, drug plans, and affordable housing. In the instance of childcare, daycare, it is more affordable in Quebec, where the prices range anywhere from $13 to $21. In Ontario, by contrast, daycare for an infant will cost approximately $1,649 monthly. So some families have no choice but to have one parent stay home, as daycare is more expensive than the loss of one adult's pay. As well, we have heard time and again that Canadians are often spending half their paycheck on the rent or into their mortgages. This is especially difficult for Canadians who do not currently live with a significant other and must bear the costs by themselves. Living alone has prompted adults to opt for living with a roommate or opt for living with a relative. In the wake of difficult times for some Canadians, political leaders are acting in an attempt to be portrayed as the best among the best. So in some sense, they will mimic each other. They will utilize the best policies that are in favor by Canadians. We can see similarities with the Liberals' strategy to NDP's Jagmeet Singh. Just to reiterate, Singh advocated for a universal drug plan and affordable housing. Competition for the masses, as the race for the federal election has well begun, the Liberals will have to compete with the policies of the NDP in order to keep the lead in the polls, and I'll talk about this more in my next story. I realized that I had previously stated that polls are not 100% accurate, but I couldn't help myself when I came across polls for the 2019 federal election. The federal election is a topic that I approach with high interest, so I thought it'd be an interesting topic to discuss. While the 2019 election isn't for a little while, these polls, to some extent, can predict the sentiment of voters early on. As of yesterday, the latest poll had been published based on participants who took the time to participate in said poll. The results demonstrate an approximate 5% point lead for the Liberals at 38%, followed closely by the Conservatives at 33.5%. The NDP has secured the third spot at 17.3%. May's Greens are in fourth, surprisingly beating the Bloc. I thought for sure the Bloc would hold the fourth spot, at 6.7%, then the Bloc with 3.7%. For this comparison, I will only be comparing the main and common national parties. Over a period since July last year, we see the Liberal has held a lead in polls roughly around 40%. The Conservatives as well have been ranging from poll support between 30 to 35%. The NDP was at 15% last July, but has been steadily increasing. The Greens and the Bloc have remained within close proximity with each other. For the Conservatives, Andrew Scheer had been elected leader as May of last year, which gave him some time to establish himself as leader and gain some recognition, and he has gained some momentum in the polls. Jagmeet Singh is still in the process of establishing himself as the new face of the NDP, having been elected as the party's leader back in 2017, so we can expect a slight increase from the NDP in the coming months. Now for the Bloc Québécois, since the sponsorship scandal between 2000 and 2006, support for the Bloc Québécois has been steadily declining. Part of this is attributed to its great competition with the NDP for Quebec voters, which is essentially the electoral base for the Bloc Québécois. As well, the emergence of new and alternative parties, such as the Green Party, presents voters with alternatives, so it's becoming difficult to compete at the federal level. Canadian politics operates in what is called brokerage politics. Parties aim for the center of the electorate to gain the most votes. It can be hard for some parties to aim for the middle when they're specifically advocating for a particular segment of the population. As I mentioned, the Bloc Québécois has its voter base in Quebec, so it's difficult to get the whole electorate when it's basing its electoral support on the side, so to speak. And this is also the same for the Green Party. A lot of Canadian citizens view the Green Party as a single-party issue. They think the Green Party is mostly about the environment. They don't really understand the other policies that the Green Party has. Canada's party system is considered a 2.5-party system. So 2.5 parties means 2.5. So the Conservatives and the Liberals and the NDP has a half chance of succeeding in federal elections. So I'll give you an example. The U.S. has a 2-party system with the Democrats and the Republicans aiming to get the presidency. So I'm definitely interested to see what will happen in the 2019 election. It's something that is of great interest to me, and I will provide updates as we learn more information. That is your Politics in Action report. Thank you for listening. I hope to see you the next time. I am Emily with CJMQ 88.9 FM.